Coming up on Fire Moment, you don't want to miss this. We have some special guests today. It is going to bless your life. The anointing of God, the power of God is so strong today, and I know it's going to touch and pull in your heart. So I'm telling you, if you've been running from God, you're going to run no more. God has your number, He has your name, and today is a special day. So don't go anywhere. Stay with us, because Fire Moment is here right now, and God has something very special for you. So stay tuned with us. It's going to bless your life like never before on today's Fire Moment.
From Uniontown, Pennsylvania, it's Fire Moments with Pastor Adam Lawson. Get your Bible ready, get your notebook ready, and get your heart ready to receive the Word of God. We pray that the fire of God would consume your life as you hear the anointed Word of God. And now, Pastor Adam.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fire Moment. I'm Pastor Adam, and I'm excited to be able to be with you, and I'm excited that you've invited us into your home today to share the Word and get into the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is an exciting moment in time for us, and we are just blessed to be a part of your day. We do have a very special program today with some extra special guests, and I know that it's going to bless your life, your heart, and stir you and challenge you. And so whatever you've been going through, whatever situation you've been in, I'm telling you that the Spirit of God is going to stir you today and do something different, transform your life and where you're at right now in your walk with God. And so we're going to introduce our guests in just a moment. Just before we do, I want to remind you, if you're new to the program or if you're a partner, to make sure you stop by the website, and there you're going to find all sorts of things that will bless your life and continue to encourage your growth in God, including our weekly email updates, part of our blogs, our archived programs. Stop by the store, whatever it is that you're looking for, and always make sure you send us your prayer requests and testimonies. We love hearing from you, and many times we get your prayer requests, but we also want to hear how God moved. Tell us how He moved and how He transformed your life. Tell us about the miracles, the healings, the salvations, the deliverance in your life, because it builds our faith, and it encourages us and the staff to continue to do what we're doing, and then we can share those testimonies with you. And I just know that God has something great for you today. You've tuned in for such a time as this, that God wants to speak to your heart today, and this program will do just that. And so today, you're not going to be just hearing from me, but we have two very special guests who minister all the way from Bulgaria, and I'm excited to introduce both of you today. Mike and Terry, it's a blessing to have you both with on the program and here in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, and so welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I know I'm just getting to know you both, but yet you have an extraordinary ministry that I've been made aware of through our friend Pastor Donnie, and he's been on the program as well. And you're doing some amazing things. I've heard already just tremendous testimonies of what God is doing and how He's moving so uniquely and powerful in Bulgaria. And you've been back in the States for a few months and getting ready to go back, correct?
Correct.
All right. When you come back to the States, is it a brief trip? Do you tend to stay for a while, or and minister here, or how does that work?
Well, we've been working in and out of Bulgaria for 24 years. Worked with YWAM for about 14 years, in and out of Bulgaria. Came home. Father died. Took care of Mom, so we kept going back and forth. And so now we're getting ready to go full time and stay. We're in the process right now of building 10 greenhouses in the village because gypsies don't have work.
Okay.
So each greenhouse is going to keep three families working. And so we're right now the first one built and up and planted. And so we leave on the 28th of February on our way back over to start overseeing what's happening there. So it's an exciting time for us.
Wow. Yes, absolutely. That's tremendous. Yeah, I know for a lot of us, myself included, even when as I began in ministry, I didn't fully understand the work of a missionary. And we hear about missionaries, and often many of us have had a missionary come to the church, but without the full understanding of all that a missionary does. And it's extraordinary. So if you both of you can, Terry, if you can share with me just a little bit about just a snapshot of what it is that you do and all that's involved in your ministry in Bulgaria.
Sure. When I'm there, I work a lot with the kids. They love you unconditionally. Mm. And God has taught us to love them back.
Yes.
And as far as the, I know for my ministry, it's with, you know, the women. There's a lot of single women there, a lot of younger youth.
Okay.
So I like to work with them. And the gypsy pastor's wife, I spend a lot of time with her, just helping her in everyday life, just loving on her, helping her do canning, whatever she needs help with. But I do what I do best, and that's to love unconditionally.
Mm. Amen. Amen. That's tremendous. You know, Micah, just my heart is just that through this program today, and you're going to be with us again on the program on the next one, is that, you know, we can give others an understanding of what you do, but also share the call, share the burden that comes with missionary work. I know that you'll agree with me that it not just anybody goes into missions. You know, it God puts that call on you and that burden, and, you know, we have to be ready for what we're introduced to when you go into the mission field. Can you share with me, Mike, a little bit about your call, when you were called, and how that all came about?
Yeah, we got saved in an odd kind of situation. I got saved at an Amway convention, which everyone thinks is really strange, but it's kind of indicative of my life.
Okay.
God has a way of having a sense of humor with me.
Sure.
So we got hungry early on, wanted to see God move, became a youth pastor, doing that for about 5 or 6 years. Getting ready to go to seminary, had finished almost my 4-year degree, getting ready to go spend another 3, and a group of crazy people called YWAMers came to the church, and they were leaving for Guatemala the next day, and I wanted to go so bad. I wanted to, because there was a hunger to see the whole world hear the gospel in their life. And so I wanted to see that. I wanted to be a part of that. And so God began to speak to me in Terry's life for the next 9 months. You know, we just got a parsonage, a big, beautiful parsonage, and our kids were young. They were like 8 and 9, and maybe 8 and 10, and getting ready to go to seminary, talking about some churches they were going to get us to be in while we were in seminary. And the call just to go to the nations was on our heart. And so 9 months later, we was in a school of discipleship in Hamilton, New Jersey, getting ready to do an outreach to Mexico City. So we went from there to New York City, worked inner city, Newark, New Jersey, New York City. And then because Mexico City was a large 28 million people at the time. Mm. So they sent us there to do the outreach in the dumps of Mexico with the kids that lived there. So we'd pull up, keep your mouth shut because the flies fly in, roll the carpet out, and start preaching, and the kids would start crawling up out of the garbage, you know. And I had 2 young girls. We were there, and I was a germ freak, you know. So if the kids would touch them, I'd get a little rag, and I'd rub it off. And I'd think, oh, help me, Jesus. But little by little, God begins to free you up, and you begin to love. And sometimes you need an example. I had my leader, a gentleman named Todd Hedgepeth, came. And he said, Mike, you okay? I said, yeah, I'm good. Just struggling here a little bit with the girls being safe and that kind of thing. But anyway, he got there, he put them down on a rug on the ground, and he started grabbing the kids and hugging them and kissing them and telling them how much he loved them, how special they were. And they never had baths in their lives. They'd never eaten a regular meal. They never had anything. Wow. But what God did, He broke my heart for the nations and for the poor of the world and for the people that are not able to take care of themselves. So from that experience, God just began to birth in our hearts the nations of the world. And we ended up, about 2 years later, the wall fell in Eastern Europe, and there was a cry to go out to bring Bibles and evangelism to Eastern Europe. And the team I was on was called to go to Bulgaria. And that's how we started out. So we get to, am I going too fast?
No, this is wonderful.
Okay, we went to Bulgaria, and what we do is we'd get on a bus, and we'd drive to a city, we'd jump out, and we'd start preaching. And sometimes 20, sometimes 500 people come to Jesus. And you know, it's the very thing that you want to be there to disciple. You want to be there to stay, to see them grow. To, you know, but every day it was like this, just this throng of people wanting to know Jesus, wanting Bibles, wanting to know. So the rule was, when you started preaching, you never ever take the Bibles out ahead of time, because you always had a riot, you know. And what happened was, someone never listens.
Yes.
So they get the Bibles out. We're in a town called Pazarjik in Bulgaria, and we have a 500 people smashes in against this storefront, and it's not good. It's not going well, because people are, they're not playing. They're tearing and tugging and pulling. And somebody, by the scruff of the neck, grabbed me and jerked me around the corner of the building. And when I turned around, I didn't know what had me, but I looked at this large, dark-complected man. His name was Sasho. And that's Thank the you, gypsy Jesus. Pastor I've been working with for 24 years. He says, in his broken English and my broken Bulgarian, says, "I need help. Please help me. Come do so. Help me build a church." And I said, "I'll come. I swear, I'll be there." But I didn't know his name. I didn't have his address. I didn't know nothing. 2 days later, we're in a hotel, and the manager of the hotel comes and says, "Listen, if you don't get the gypsies out of here, I'm going to throw all of you out of here." I mean it. I'm not kidding. They got to go now. Well, I didn't know there was such a prejudice towards gypsies. If you know what a gypsy is, it's an ethnic group of people that are at the every level of poverty, economic status in the world. They usually get married by the time they're 12 or 13 years old, and the cycle starts over again. So when I went to meet the pastors that were there, mm-hmm. and it was three gypsy pastors that came and said, "Will you please come?" And I said, "Yeah, but you got to leave. Please, will you? They're going to throw us out of here." And so they graciously left and understood the situation, the way that they're treated. And so another 6 months later, we took a King's Kids team back into Bulgaria. Didn't tell them we were coming, but I knew the name of the town now. We found the village. We went to the village, and when we got there, there was 50 of us. When we got there, they had already had all the tables up. They had cooked for us, and they was waiting on us. And they had no idea we were coming. It was just a sovereign move of God. They was working in the fields that day. God told them we were coming, and when we got there, they was waiting on us. It's just the way they are. They're very intuitive. They've read human nature for years and years. But most of all, when you're a hated race of people and you come to Jesus, now the way that your life operates is so much different. You become someone who not only cares and loves, but now you realize, "I'm loved by a Heavenly Father," that there truly is this transformation that happens to them. And so what they have to overcome, though, is the world doesn't see them as a new race of people. Mm. You know, they always said they thought they were one of the lost tribes. I said, "Yeah, you're one of the lost tribes."
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, that's our beginnings for us in working with the gypsies in Bulgaria.
That's powerful just to hear, you know, how it began, and just already the move of God. And, you know, in just you talking about it, you know, it's visible, the brokenness and the humility, and yet the clear call of God on your life for missions work. And the people there, it's amazing. It stirs, you know, me just watching the passion that's in there, in your life for both of you, just for what you're doing. It's tremendous. You know, for both of you, Mike and Terry, I guess I want us to get into your ministry and more of what you're doing. But before we do, can you tell me, just for anyone watching and for all of us, that, you know, for a person who's called to missions, what would you say, how do they know that's the direction? You know, a lot of folks are called to ministry. Sometimes they get confused that it's a pastor or an evangelist or where they're to really fall. How would you encourage someone who feels called and to know that missions is where they should land?
Number one, get in the Word. Just start reading everything and reading. Get in the book of John, get in the book of Acts, and begin to see what God was doing throughout the Word. And know that you're hearing God. Get into the Word in such a way that you start understanding that God is moving. And then start listening. Listening when the Word's coming alive and jumping off the page to you. Because a missionary is nothing more than a sent one. It's someone who is sent out. And you can be just as sent out and reach the nations from where you're at. It's your job, and be a missionary, as you can going to the ends of the earth. And that's something that's really important. We got to understand that every person is a missionary.
Yes.
You know, and half of God's name It, you know, two-thirds is go.
Yes.
God's called us to go, to reach the nations. Ask of me, Psalms 2:8, ask of me, and I'll give you the nations as your inheritance. And so God's calling young people out there, especially, that you're able. You have the ability now. Some of you aren't married, some of you are, but you have the freedom to travel the world, to see the gospel be proclaimed, to set the captives free, to be called out to see that the lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see,
yes.
Devils to be cast out, and the dead to be raised. Because we work in the Muslim community some, and whenever the miracles of God are taking place, that's whenever they don't care about Allah no more. They care about a living God, a raised Jesus that changes the world. And so we're living in those times. I think this is our finest time, especially to reach the Muslim world. There wouldn't be so much fear right now in the world because it wouldn't, if the enemy wasn't afraid of us. And so we need to take back what the enemy's stolen from us. He's a trespasser. When Jesus said, it's finished, it was done. All the works of the enemy are done. And so we have the right to go in and take back the land that's ours. So ask the Lord. Ask, give me the nations as my inheritance. Ask the Lord, what are you calling me? What people group do you want me to touch in this world? Because we're living in those times that you're going to see the manifestations of the Spirit of God. And when people see that, they come to the Lord. Can I read scripture?
Yes, yeah, just flow.
It's just this scripture that I want to read. It's Acts 10:38, and it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So what we're seeing in the world is, this is normal Christianity, and somehow we've put on a pedestal people that's operating these gifts, you know, the Smiths Wigglesworths, and the John Lakes, and the people of Amy Simple, you know, all McPherson, all those people, but those were normal Christians.
Yes.
Those were normal. Every one of us should be walking in the authority and power of Jesus, walking and seeing the gifts, you know, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of interpretation of tongues, the gift of healing, all those things, the nine gifts that read about them, especially if God's calling you to mission. Read about your authority. You know, go to Genesis 1:26 and look where your authority is in Christ.
Yes.
That He's given us dominion over the earth. Go to Revelations 5:10. He says, you're a priest and a king, and you reign and rule on the earth. And so that is who we are, that we are to walk in that in these days we live in, to tear down the strongholds of the enemy, to set the captives free, and be called out by God to accomplish the impossible. It's impossible for us to do what we got to do in Bulgaria. You know, I never ever dreamed of building 10 greenhouses, but God did, and He birthed that in my heart, and He's doing that. We got one up and built. We got five promised. We got four yet to go, and by summer's end, we're going to be producing around 50 tons of tomatoes and potatoes out of these greenhouses, and it's all because God is going to use that, because the gypsies are a group of people. Most of them speak five languages. They're dark skinned. They assimilate to whatever culture that they live in, so they're ready-made missionaries. And so when we get there this time, we're going to be traveling to Spain, because one of the people in the congregation where we work in Portugal, they went there for work. Well, when they went there for work, they planted a church. So there's a Bulgarian gypsy church now in Portugal that we're going to minister in, you know, in the middle of March. And it's just, it's awesome, because they have become what we've dreamed and prayed for. The same way we're working with the refugees on the Turkish border. They have no food. There's 1,800 people. There's four bathrooms and one shower, and you wait half a week just to get a shower. And they're fluctuating in and out. Well, there's no food. The gypsies in our village, Pastor Donnie knows, in our village, that has taken down this year 26 tons of potatoes and almost 12 tons of cabbage. And I got another 10 tons that we're trying to get there now. And for the first time, they've seen themselves not as the people that need, but they're seeing themselves as the people that can give, as someone that's worse off than they are. And God is moving among the gypsy people, not just in Bulgaria, but in Romania, in Portugal, in Hungary, all over. And there's a move happening that God wants you to be a part of. What is it that God's calling you to do?
Yes.
What's the purposes and plans that He has for you? Will you come over and help us on a short-term mission trip? Will you bring a youth group over and let the gypsies disciple and love on them and show them and care about them? God didn't send us there because they needed us. He knew we needed them.
Yes.
That was That's the truth. Yes. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful that all that God's doing.
Amen. Amen. Well, it just stirs just hearing you talk and share the passion that you have. You know, you were sharing a little bit about us taking our authority and that God has given us dominion in the earth.
Yes.
And that we can be examples and that thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that on earth as it is in heaven, and that we're a part of that. And
amen.
You're
amen.
Transforming lives, but as much as you've transformed and done a work there, they're doing a work in you, and they've been
amen.
Such a blessing to you. And that's what I hear and see.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just it's the kingdom of God manifesting itself on earth through the work that you're doing. And that's what all of us are called to do.
Amen.
You know, you mentioned just a moment ago, and I want to make sure that we at least get this in today on the program, that other people can be a part of what you're doing and understand
amen.
It more. And all through this program, you've seen at the bottom of your screen their information, their website. And if you have questions or to contact, you know, we want you to do that. But share with us a little bit, if you can, Terry. Tell us, you know, how others can be involved. You know, obviously there are people that say right off the bat, I'm not called, I'm not going. But they're still able to be a part of missions from home. And then
that's
there are
right.
those who can go along and bring a team. And so can you share with us the different options?
Well, I know for us, you know, when we write our newsletters and we let people know, you know, we definitely need prayer.
Yes.
You know, we'd like to have a prayer team around us. That's the most important thing.
Yes.
But two, you know, we live over there just like you live here. You know, we do have finances. We do have, you know, needs that need to be met.
Yeah.
But again, you know, we trust the Lord for that. He's never let us down yet. We haven't gone without a meal. So if anybody, you know, just look at our website. All the information you need is there as far as, like, if you want to give. And also, if there's anybody out there that wants to go on a short-term mission trip, say a week, 10 days, we could use you. Come on over. It would just get your feet wet, you know, and you can, you know, decide for yourself. If that's, you know, if missions is what you're called to do, but we can definitely, we could definitely share with you, and we
Amen.
Could use you.
Amen. And the place to go is romamissions.org. And so make sure you just go to the website, and you can connect and ask questions and find out a lot more information. And that's the key is, you know, we've seen groups. I had a youth group from my church go years ago. And was a part of it. And it transformed. I'm telling you, our youth group came back. Some of those teens that went, you know, I almost, as the pastor, didn't want to allow them to go because of the trouble they were in. And I worried the trouble they'd cause. And, you know, we had every release form signed on earth to let them go. And yet, I'll never forget the Sunday that they came back. I mean, we had church.
Amen.
For the first time. And a long time, it transformed the ministry.
Amen.
Where our youth group and the people that I thought would, I wasn't sure if we would ever be able to really reach and if they would ever really change.
Yeah.
We're laying hands and stirring and challenging our church. And they were there for just 10 days and it changed them. And so something as quick as 10 days changed some of the most troubled teens that I had in the church at that time.
Hallelujah.
Transformed our youth pastor. And our church and the focus of our ministry. Our church was not missions mindset. It did not have a missions mindset at that time. And it was not a concern. It was not a priority. But after that experience, it changed those young people. It changed the focus of the church, the leadership, me as the set man of the house.
Yeah.
And we began to see it as not just a need for them, but begin to see how it transforms our life as well. You know,
amen.
People go into missions thinking, oh, you know, I'm there to give, and not realizing that as you're giving, you know, even here in ministry, that as we give, that we are also receiving.
Amen.
The law of reciprocity works in many ways, not just financial.
Yes.
And so it transforms our lives. And, you know, I know just sharing with you off camera and Pastor Donnie off camera that the life-changing experiences, and we're running out of time for this program, but we're going to be back. You didn't have them back for next week, so I want you to make sure you tune in. But, you know, I just want you to share your heart as we wind down this program. Just share what's on your heart today, and we're going to minister to the people and believe that you know, as you share your heart, that there are others that are hearing you today. They're connecting, And they're hearing that, and they're knowing, they're bearing witness with that. And so, Brother Mike, I just want you to share your heart as we wrap up.
Well, thank you. Most of all, pray for the missionaries who are out in the field. Yes. Your missionaries in your church, send them a letter. Yeah. Encourage them. Tell them you're behind them. Yeah. Believe in them. Send them, if you got $5, buy them some stamps. Send them something. Just let them know that they're thought about. Because many of them are out there, and they don't feel like they're being remembered. They feel like they're lost out there. And they're on the front lines. They're under live fire. A lot of them, they have to meditate and read the Word just 2 hours a day just to be able to stay in the position that they're in. And so encourage your missionaries. Moms and dads, if you've got kids that have a heart for missions, don't discourage them. Get them, let them experience what God wants to do in their lives. And it's hard. My kids went out on mission trips too, and I thought I was ready. I wasn't ready. Jesus got me ready.
Yes.
You know, but I just want to encourage the body of Christ that this is our time to shine, especially in the world. Not to shrink back and not send less missionaries. This is a time that we hunker down and we start sending people by the thousands.
Hallelujah.
And we send businessmen into missions, that we become tent makers in the world, that we touch the nations, not because of fear. It says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And that's what the world needs to see, a glorious church that Jesus come back for, that's not shrinking back, that's not sitting back on its honkers, not waiting on the end, but God, we are an aggressive. He says that the Spirit of God comes on us so that it's aggressive. Mm. It comes by force.
Yes.
And so the demonic things that come against this world and these days we live in, that we are to tear them down.
Right.
We are to set and establish that these are the days that we are called to operate in. And Father, I thank you that there's people out there that got a heart to do the work of the kingdom. Lord, anoint them, fill them up, send them out, dust them off. And Father, I thank you that you use the uncommon things to do the things that are common. And that, Father, the people that you'd never imagine are the people that will reach the earth for the kingdom of gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I wish we had more time. We have seconds with you. And just before we go, I have to thank you both. And I have to tell you, they're going to be with us next week. So don't go and, you know, make sure you tune in next week as we hear more about what God's doing, about what he wants to do, and how you can be a part. Now, make sure you visit their website at romamissions.org. Mike and Terry Santmeyer, it's been a blessing to have you both. I just enjoy seeing your passion and the fire of God that's within you. That's our vision as well. And so thank you so much for sharing that with us. Make sure you join us next week, friends. And until we see you then, I pray the fire of God consumes your life. Goodbye, friends.